السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن سار على سبيله ونهجه ومن استن بسنته ومن اهتدى بهديه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. وقد قال تعالى في قرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين. ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وقد قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ما أعطي أحد من عطاء خير وأوسع من الصبر، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. All praise, all thanks is only due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has yet again given us such a beautiful opportunity to gather in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Mubarak day of Jumu'ah. Indeed, this is a great, great, great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll only appreciate this ni'mat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, but when we compare any ni'mat for that matter, the appreciation of it, the bounty of it, can be understood when compared with something else. Therefore, in Arabic, there's a saying, وَبِالضِّدِّ تَتَبَيَّنُ بِهِ الْأَشْيَاءِ, that when a thing is compared with its opposite, then it becomes clear how valuable this thing is. So ask those people who are in hospitals, those that are in the ICU, those that are in the high care, those that are at home with some type of ailment and they can't make it for Jumu'ah, they'll tell you what a happy occasion, what a nice occasion, how nice it would be if we could have been there also for Jumu'ah. So Allah Pak has given us this opportunity. The first thing we should do is we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this insan, Allah has put this insan in difficulties. Our style and our modus and our ambition in life is how we can get out of difficulties and how we can have a life of luxury, a life of opulence, a life of enjoyment. But it's the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that every now and then a person is put into some type of difficulty, some type of hardship. So at times a man will be going through situations where he will need to adopt the quality of sabr, and there are other times in his life where he has the opportunity and where he undergoes and he makes shukr. This is for the average person. For the person who is on a higher level, much higher level, every type of situation is a situation of shukr. As we go on, inshallah, I'll explain what is meant by this, that every opportunity, every difficulty also, upon that the higher people of higher levels and higher status and higher connection and stronger connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they even use those opportunities of difficulty to make shukr. There is no question of sabr for them. So anyway, this life that Allah Pak has given us, Allah has given us this opportunity that sometimes we have to make sabr and sometimes we have to make shukr. Mawlana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi would give an example. He would say that a person to enjoy a mango, that mango can't be 100% sweet, every spot has to be sweet. That mango that got certain spots that are not very sweet, then the other spots that are sweet, the man will enjoy those spots that are sweet because of those spots that are not sweet on the mango. So like that, for our understanding and example, if a person is given on Eid day, he's given a piece of barfi to eat, a nice big piece of barfi. Then after that piece of barfi, he has coke. So he's pushing everything that is sweet. And now after that coke and after that barfi, you give the man ice cream and you say, can you enjoy the sweetness of this ice cream? He won't really enjoy the sweetness of the ice cream. Why? Because before that he was only enjoying good. He was only enjoying sweet. But mix it up, give him that barfi and now give him something that's strong, give him a very strong samosa to eat. And then after that you give him the ice cream, you see that ice cream will have a different enjoyment than eating that ice cream after barfi. So like that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world puts us through difficult times so we can appreciate and enjoy those times that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes those difficulties. And ultimately a person will enjoy and he'll appreciate Jannat because he went through this life in this dunya where he had to make sabr, where he had to undergo patience, and where he had to bear the difficulty of undergoing and carrying out this level of patience. Now this patience is something, the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which I have quoted in the opening qiraat, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, there isn't any ni'mat, there isn't any bounty that is more broad spectrum, that is more far reaching, that a person can have than the ni'mat of sabr. Why? We might ask why. Out of all the ni'mat a person can have, why the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saying there isn't any bounty that is more far reaching, has more better consequences, has more better favorable, has more favorable responses, or more favorable for a person than this quality of sabr? Because this, to understand this, we see that sabr is not only, we have understood sabr where a person loses, he gets a hijacked, he loses one car, or a person loses some family member, he goes through some difficulty, this is sabr. Indeed, that is sabr where he has to apply patience, he has to apply himself, and he has to bring and practice upon patience. That is one level of sabr. But sabr goes much, much beyond that. It's a much more vast thing. So the first thing we are speak about is this as-sabru ala ta'at, where a person has to have the level of sabr upon obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That now a beautiful woman is walking past, this person is tempted now to look at this woman. Now he's saying that I have to be obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So I have to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lowers his gaze. Another example would be at Fajr time, it is difficult, it is cold. This person now has to wake up and push himself for Fajr. That patience and that perseverance and that endurance that he undergoes, that is a level of sabr. So when a person is gifted with sabr, he is gifted with the tawfiq now of practicing on what he should be doing. So this also becomes sabr. It is the time where a person has to make tilawat of Quran. He pushes himself that every day after Fajr, instead of me just jumping back into the bed, let me read some Quran. So this is one type of sabr and one type of endurance where he pushes himself to make the tilawat of Quran. It is a time of fasting. It may be very hot. The fast may be very long. As we know, it is many times people go for Umrah and they go to other parts of the world, especially when it's winter here, it's summer there. Then they'll find that that fast also is very long and very hard. But that person who's blessed with the ni'mat of sabr, even upon that now he will make sabr and he'll endure and he'll undergo that level of sabr. So this is one level of sabr where a person in subhanahu wa ta'ala, he fights his temptations and he obeys the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next type of sabr you get is this, as-sabru inda al-ma'asiyah. Now when a person is tempted with fitna, a person is tempted with disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a deal comes in front of him. A very, very lucrative, a very attractive deal comes in front of him. Prime, a deal that is 6% linked with Prime. He says, I'll never get a deal like this. This sports car that's available, this company has got a deal. This sports car is available. The moment the man looks at that, now the temptation is there to buy it. He doesn't have the funds to buy it. He's tempted to buy it, but he makes sabr. That I should not link myself with haram. When he's seeing the link to Prime, automatically he's telling himself, link to the fire of Jahannam, I got nothing to do with this deal. This is not permissible for me. So a person makes sabr and he goes against that desire to get into some haram. This is also one type of sabr, one type of endurance a person has to make. And very often it happens that when we see these type of things, we think, what these Molanas know? They got no idea of what business is. In this time and age, we have to get involved in incest. I'll just digress a little bit for our understanding purposes. Although there is no need, one ayat of the Quran, Allah Pak mentions, فَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلُوا فَأَذَنُوا بِحَرْبٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. If a person does not desist in getting involved in interest, then announce war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If one person wants to take on 10 people, we say, this man is a fool, how is he going to take on 10 people? If he wants to take on 100 people, what we'll say? If he says he wants to take on the whole police force, we'll say, this person is such a big fool. Then he wants to take on the whole army himself. Yeah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, he's not taking on the army, he's not taking on 10 people or 100 people, he's not taking on the armies of the world. He's taking on, announce war. Give the elan of jang with war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How can a person ever get away? And when we hear things, when it was the time of Sahaba, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, kana waqqafan inda kitabillah. If he had to hear one ayat of Quran like this, immediately he would never ever say anything. Faster than the best ABS braking system can stop an object in motion, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu would be stopped by the kitab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. One ayat was enough to stop him in the track. But unfortunately, we need to hear examples and we need to hear case studies before we can appreciate how we need to apply the sabr when it comes to guna. Especially, I'm going to just digress, we don't have much time. But as far as interest is concerned, this is something that is consuming our whole community and we don't even realize it. Every second person is involved in interest. Just this week, there was a person that came, multi-millionaire, he's close to 80 years old now. But over the period of time, people have been advising him, his accountants have been advising him, pious people advising him, they don't get involved in interest. It's a very, very dangerous thing. And his statement along about 30 years going now, his statement is that you can't live in this world without getting involved in interest. Business is something else and deen is something else. Such a dangerous statement, Allah Pak save us. Often this type of statement comes out of our mouth. Now when this person has reached the age of 80, ripe old age of 80, now his children are fighting with him, the wife is fighting, the whole family is fighting for his properties. And now this person in front of us is saying, in the office is saying, he's crying and he's saying, if this is what the end result of wealth is, then I tell you something, that wealth and properties is a lanat, is a curse. All along he was giving, just to explain this person's example, that he had purchased about 25 years ago on property in the CBD area for about 900,000 rand. And because it was a prime property, 2 years later it went up to about 2 million. And then 3 or 4 years later, that same property went up to 4 million. And recently, the same person was offered 12 million for that property. And every time he's saying, you see, you people that say, don't take interest, there's no barakat in interest. But look at what this property is worth today. And now, this week, he comes crying, he's saying, if this is what the end result of getting involved in interest, then I tell you that this interest is a lanat. So this is what happens at the end. A person's own children are taking him to court. His wife is fighting with him. At the time and the age now, when you need that type of security, you need that type of peace and contentment, you need that type of itminan, then what happens is everything turns against you. So now a person realizes that I should never ever have got involved. But at a time it seemed lucrative. I'll give you another case study. There was a couple. Also 20 years, 25 years, the accountant advising them, telling them they don't get involved in interest. But they got involved in interest. And they said, you know what, don't worry about the interest part of it. Let us focus on the business. Now we got this interest is more like a religious thing. It got nothing to do as far as our business is concerned. This week also, they also came. Both of them fighting. Divorce is on the cards. Grandparents, their grandchildren. The children are embarrassed that our parents are fighting. And fighting for what? Fighting for nothing. There's nothing worth fighting for in that whole state of theirs. There's nothing worth fighting. But yet they are fighting. Why? This is the end result of getting yourself involved with a war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is what is meant when that attraction, when that thing is attractive. I can buy such a beautiful house. Why must I rent? I don't have the funds. Why must I rent? I can buy this house. I can extend and get a swimming pool. I can go for overseas holidays. What is there for me not to get involved in interest? When a person sees this and he realizes that the end result of this is nothing but, remember something, the war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a physical war. We won't see rockets raining down. We won't see F-16s coming down from the sky suddenly. But the war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is one that will come in a different type of disguise, and one whose repercussions and effects are much, much more worse and much more far-reaching than a person just facing somebody in a physical combat. So this is what is meant where a person makes sabr upon sin. And now the third type of sabr, this is sabru indal musiba or indal bala, where a person has some type of difficulty and some type of hardship. I'll just terminate on this. So this example or this incident that appears in the Bukhari Sharif also and Muslim Sharif also, it comes that on occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was passing by a qabr and there was a woman that was there crying profusely. She had lost her child. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advising her, he said, ittaqillaha wasbiri, that fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adopt patience. So at that emotional stage of hers, that state of hers, that mindset that she was in, can you imagine she had lost a child? So she didn't understand and she didn't realize who Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was. So she said, ilayka anni fa innaka lam tusab bi musibati wa lam ta'arifhu, that move away, get away from me. You don't know what situation I am going through. You are not involved, or you haven't been afflicted with what I have been afflicted with. You don't understand what I am going through. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have told her many things at that time. He was the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. He could have told her so many things, but he understood and he made the ayat of the situation and the mindset of the woman. Something for us that also comes under the level of sabr. That's why we understand sabr to be so broad spectrum, that even make riayat of the emotional state of a woman. Yeah, this was a strange woman. It wasn't the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It wasn't some family member, but he could make sabr upon this emotional state of hers. Very often we make sabr upon the emotional state of our own wives and our own parents and those people that are so close to us. This was a strange woman. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just went away. He moved away. So those people that were around, they informed her, do you know who you said these words to? So she said, then she was told that she had said it to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this brought more grief to this woman than even the loss of her child. Can you imagine what love she had for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So she went up to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she went and apologized, and then Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam told her, as-sabru inda sujmatil ula, that the true sabr is at the initial phases when a person is faced with a difficulty, with that hardship. At that time when he applies himself and he makes sabr, this is the true sabr. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of bringing this level of sabr in our life. Really all, so many problems between children and parents, between partners, between friends, between family members are just because a person doesn't have sabr. One person during this week, one youngster came and told me that in the state of the moment, I just issued the talaqs. Now what is the situation? So this is what sabr is all about. A person anjam dekar kam karna. He thinks of what the end result will be and then he proceeds with action. Allah Pak give us the tawfiq of bringing this true sabr in our lives. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.